Get 15% off a set of BrakeMess Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hello, America. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here across the nation. The phone number, 877-973-7425, if you wish to be on the program. Very cool shot from North Carolina. President Trump's 757 did a very low flyover past the crowd at the place where he's going to have his rally in North Carolina. Just a really, really cool aerial flyover. That sucker was low to the ground. Nose up as it went by, just neat. It's interesting. He is had been in Michigan. He's now in North Carolina, hitting the swing states. The swing states matter, and you can tell what their internal polling is based on where they go. And let me just before I get to what I actually want to talk about, this is worth actually explaining to you, because we got, and again, it's repetitive for some of you, but keep in mind we've been growing. We got Oklahoma City now. We've got Stanton, Virginia. We got Sacramento. We keep growing the show. And as we pick up stations, sometimes it's got to be a little repetitive. And this is worth everybody remembering. As much as you and I may be skeptical of individual media polls, and I'm more skeptical of the public partisan polls than the media polls, but still there's a level of skepticism. And also, presidential election years are more difficult than non-presidential election years. So take the New York Times Siena poll, which is a very accurate, good pollster, but it is better in off-year elections. Off-year elections, it's easier to determine enthusiasm, which typically is against the party in the White House. It was the New York Times Siena College poll that began to show the red wave dissipating in 2022. It was the partisan pollsters, the Rasmussens and the Trafalgars, that continued to show a big red wave. And I, like many of you, believe the partisan pollsters, not the media pollsters. And it was the media pollsters that got it right. The problem is, in presidential election years, it's harder for those media pollsters to really be able to gauge turnout. That's why you got to pay attention to the trends and the polling averages and not the individual polls. Because as every poll is moving in one direction, that's a pretty big indication they are measuring something, even if they're not getting the bottom number right. And the polling averages tend to sort that out. The polling averages tend to be pretty good. Now you say, well, what about 2016? Trump won. Well, the polling average there was measuring popular vote, not electoral college vote. And it actually got pretty close to what Hillary Clinton got in the polling average. All that being said, campaigns poll differently from the media. See, the media is polling the horse race, who's ahead right now. If the election were held today, who would win? That's not what the campaigns are polling. The campaigns are actually polling data on how do we persuade, what is the best message, and where do we think we can find momentum. And they use that deep polling, internal polling, and they tell candidates where they need to go and what they need to say. Trump has gone to Michigan and he's gone to North Carolina in the last 24 hours. Clearly, those states are in play. They're going to be spending a lot of time in Pennsylvania. We know that's in play. He's been in Nevada. Now, that also tracks with the media polling of the swing states, where we know the states most up for grabs are Nevada and Arizona, Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, Pennsylvania, and that Donald Trump is in North Carolina tells us North Carolina actually is a swing state. They use internal polling. The internal polling is much better, much more comprehensive, much more thorough, way more expensive than the public polling. If you're interested, I had a great conversation on polling with my friend Chris Wilson at the gathering 2 weeks ago. If you go to youtube.com/EW Erickson or just text Eric to 33777, follow the YouTube link. You get into the gathering videos, you'll find my conversation with Chris Wilson, very enlightening on what you can and cannot take from modern public opinion polling. And Chris makes the same point that I'm making, that the internal campaign polling is far deeper, far more informative than what we see from the horse race polling in the media. Now, believe it or not, that dissection there and tangent off on polling is not exactly what I wanted to start this hour with. What I want to start the hour with is Ford Motor Company. So I want to talk about Ford, but I'm going to go on a tangent to General Motors first. My buddy Jim Hardman is up in Gainesville, Georgia. He's the oldest GMC dealer in the state of Georgia. Love the guy. He has helped me so much tremendously over the years. I've done ads for him on my flagship station, he's serviced my car. In fact, I need to get my car up there at some point soon just for service. And I've been concerned because Jim is a brilliant guy, great businessman. His family's run this. He's like the only dealer I know of that didn't do markups during COVID when cars were never sold over MSRP. Just an honest guy, and his garage, his shop, just the service technicians are fantastic people. But I've been concerned because I love my GMC Denali. I've got a Yukon Denali, and I love it. But GM has said they're going to get rid of CarPlay in their newer vehicles. And as much as I love my GM, I use my iPhone a whole lot more. And I have been looking at thinking I'm going to have to not buy GM cars anymore because they're going to get rid of CarPlay. Well, GM has just laid off 1,000 salaried employees globally in its software and services division following a review to streamline their operations. The layoffs include roughly 600 jobs on their tech campus near Detroit that comes less than 6 months after leadership changes overseeing the operation. The job cuts are about 1.3% of the company's global salaried workforce. That's a pretty significant cut. And it comes as, I got to tell you, the one thing I don't like about my GM is the software. It's garbage. I use my Apple CarPlay interface. It's more responsive. It's faster. It's more accurate, and I don't have to worry about it. The GM, it's laggy. When I sit in my car, it ties my key fob to the car, and it pulls up and wants to know if it's me. And then it puts this stupid screen on the display that don't read this if you're driving, but you can't see any of this stuff on the screen unless you know that you're not supposed to be distracted while driving. It is the dumbest CYA lawyer legalese thing I've ever seen. Literally, it puts a screen up and says, if you're driving, you're not supposed to read this. When you stop, click OK that you agree not to be distracted by your screen. It's the stupidest thing. The auto manufacturers of America have gotten a run for their money from Tesla and Rivian, which are software hardware companies combined. It's one of the things that sets Apple apart from other computer companies. So you can buy a computer from anyone if it's a PC, and then you get Windows, and Windows comes from Microsoft. With Apple, they make the hardware and the software. Everything is integrated. So your phones integrate better with your laptops, integrate better with the iPad, integrate even with the Apple Vision Pro thing, the VR headset. Everything just integrates. The Apple TV, everything integrates well because Apple makes the software and the hardware. These car companies that are making their software and their hardware that do it right, like Rivian and Tesla, they may not have Apple CarPlay. Tesla and Rivian don't have Apple CarPlay or Android Play, where if you plug your phone into the system, you see a display that looks like the screen of your phone, and you can use your messaging app, your phone app, and all that sort of stuff. They may not, but my friends who have them say they do such a great job with their software, it doesn't really matter. Unfortunately, with GM and Ford, their software is not up to snuff. Ford now, this gets me to Ford, is now scaling back plans altogether. GM has just laid off a significant portion of its software division. Ford is now canceling plans for a large electric SUV and expects to take a $1.9 billion write-down as they're adjusting their EV plans. They're scrapping plans for an electric three-row SUV, citing tougher pricing pressure as automakers resort to aggressive discounts to move their electric vehicles. Ford has delayed plans for the model for 2 years before canceling it. They're now going to offer a hybrid gas-electric version of future large three-row SUVs, a popular vehicle category. They've scaled back other electric vehicle plans. General Motors is likewise revising its plans to build electric pickups, and they're delaying the release of a Buick electric vehicle. Why? It turns out people don't want electric vehicles. Now, again, anecdotes, not data. You may love your electric vehicle. David, my CFO, loves his Tesla. Most people don't want them. And they tend to be more expensive, even with subsidies. What's so notable about this is Toyota. Now, I had a Toyota 4Runner for a number of years. I still to this day miss my 4Runner. I love my 4Runner. Very interested in the Land Cruiser. That's kind of an upgraded luxury model of 4Runner. Man, I love my 4Runner. It was so much fun. I love that I could roll down the rear window. I love my 4Runner. Everybody who has a 4Runner loves their 4Runner, and I love mine. I had to get rid of it because, well, with a wife and two kids and a dog, and we're not light packers, just couldn't fill it up. I moved to a Tahoe, and then from my Tahoe moved to a Yukon Denali, and I love my Yukon Denali, y'all. I don't know that I could ever get out of it. My daughter has a Kia Telluride, and it's, I mean, if I wanted to downsize, I'd go to it. It is a comfortable, comfortable ride. But I love my GMC. I love Jim Hardman. I want to keep doing business with him, with my GMC. But the electric ones, I don't want them. Toyota made a decision to go with hybrid models. And you'll note what the left's reaction was to begin aggressively buying stock in Toyota to gain shareholder clout, to fire the chairman of the board who pushed the hybrid model plan. He came out on top. He kept his job, and he was right. You now have all the auto manufacturers in the world, except the pure electric plays like Rivian and Tesla, going to the hybrid model. Because it turns out people want gas in their car so that they can go further. And if the gas can also help charge the battery some to give them extra distance, that's what they want. They're way more complex than old cars. I have a sneaking suspicion we're headed towards the Cuban model. Those of you familiar with Cuba know they still drive cars from the 1950s and 60s there. They were easy to maintain. They can rebuild parts, and they keep those cars going and in pristine condition. My brother-in-law is a mechanic. He can fix pretty much anything. He was a master chief in the Navy, worked in engine rooms. He's retired now. He does consulting for a company, travels around the country, but he loves to fix cars. Newer models are harder and harder to fix. They're more giant computers. And that drives up your cost. I do kind of believe that it would behoove a presidential candidate to come out and say, I want to deregulate to the extent that the auto manufacturers can go back to producing a very cheap car. A car that doesn't need the rear camera, that doesn't need the tire inflation sensors, that doesn't need all the bells and whistles and safeties. We'll keep the airbag and the seatbelts, but we don't need a bunch of other stuff that just drives up costs for the consumer. We're pricing people out of the price of a car by mandating all these vehicle add-ons, including the breathalyzer and everything else, the kill switch, all that. The fact that Ford has decided that it's got to wind down its plans for electrics because the public doesn't want it is the free market working. It's the thing the Democrats hate. It's why the Democrats blast the market. It's why Kamala Harris doesn't want the free market, because consumers acting in their own self-interest together tend to show us the path forward, where people are headed and what works. And when the people acting in concert in their own self-interest in the free market show us what works and it's contrary to what the government believes it needs, the government really gets mad. And that's where we are right now. The government, led by California and Washington, D.C., want to push every American to pure electric cars and no gas cars by 2030, like 6 years from now. It is an impossible milestone to meet. We cannot do it. We will not do it. And the public is saying very loudly, we're not going to do it. And they will provoke a rebellion of the voters if they push too hard. And what the major car manufacturers are realizing is we've pushed consumers too much and now we're losing money. We got to go back and give them gas-powered vehicles. They do not want the electric ones. Maybe we should just let the marketplace sort this out. Get rid of the EV subsidies. Get rid of the mandates. Let the market sort it out. And if people decide that they're ready for a battery-powered car, guess what? They'll go get one. Until then, give us gas.
He'll do the research and give it to you straight. Eric Erickson is live every weekday. Want Eric's weekly recipes? They're super delicious. Text recipe to 33777 now.
Howdy. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here. 877-973-7425 if you want to be on the program. We should mention China here for just a moment before we move on to other things. The Chinese are claiming some extraordinary growth in their economy that everyone has known has been in a depression. You know, a depression is a bad thing. Like, you and I intuitively think inflation's been so high, can we not have like a deflation where prices actually do come down? The problem with deflation is it actually intuitively seems to us to make good sense. The problem is it would cause wages to collapse. And when wages collapsed, the rest of the markets would start, their economy would collapse, the stock market would collapse. It's not a good thing. That actually, deflation leads to depressions. And China has essentially headed into a depression with a deflationary event. They're now claiming some level of robust growth. Here's the problem. Chinese monetary reserves do not reflect that growth. We should be able to see the amount of money China has in reserve on the world market. That's money the communists can't hide because it's parked in banks around the world. And it's not there, which means the Chinese are yet again lying. Now, the difference between our government and the jobs number in China is that there's no way for us to check to see what China's growth actually is apart from their government. In this country, the private sector can say we're growing this much, and if it conflicts with the government, well, that raises questions, and inspector generals come out and inspectors general, and they figure out what the heck is going on and why the discrepancy doesn't exist in China. What we know about China is that local governments are headed into defaults on local loans. The Chinese government is bailing out local governments who did very bad commercial real estate deals, and it doesn't actually look like China is outperforming everyone as the government claims. So there's a real contrast between our country and their country, where our Bureau of Labor Statistics completely screwed up the data but has publicly had to correct it because the private sector business data did not align with it at all. And in China, there's no way for us to get them to correct their data and be honest about it because there is no private sector. Everything is controlled by the Chinese Communist Party. So everything lines up the way they want it to line up. That's why our system is superior. In our system, whistleblowers write tell-all books and go on TV. In China, they get hanged. Our system works better. Yay, America. Part of our system involves robust banking. And unfortunately, there's been this effort to push banks left in this country to take them over through shareholder purchases. That's where Old Glory Bank comes in. Old Glory Bank was started by a group of investors concerned about the debanking trends and the social justice warrior trends of this country. So they bought a bank in Oklahoma. They rebranded it as Old Glory Bank, and they've expanded it nationwide with an online and robust portal for you to do checking with them. I heard about it from a friend of mine who's on the board. I was like, I want to use this bank. I was using an online bank. I wasn't happy with them. So I moved to Old Glory Bank last year, and I'm glad to have them as an advertiser. They really are my bank, and I really have been happy with them. They have a great no-fee checking, no-fee savings account. They've got business checking. They will not cancel you. If you're a gun owner, gun manufacturer, you're a gun reseller, you want an account with a bank where you're never going to have to worry about them, Old Glory Bank is it. OldGloryBank.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender. You can get loans from them, mortgages. They're a real bank. You build a relationship with them. That relationship develops. You can get your loans from them, your mortgage from them, so much more. OldGloryBank.com takes less than 8 minutes to get an account for you or your kids. OldGloryBank.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Terms and conditions apply.
He's got the courage to tell you the truth, because the truth is what matters. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
Greetings. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here. Donald Trump on stage in North Carolina just addressed the jobs situation. This is President Trump from North Carolina on stage a short time ago.
Before we begin, I want to address the massive scandal around the revised job numbers that were just announced this morning. A little while ago, just before I came up, I got to see them. And it really isn't a revision. It's a total lie. Total lie. There's never been any revision like this. They wanted it to come out after the election, but somehow it got leaked. It got leaked. Government leaks, too. The Harris-Biden administration has been caught fraudulently manipulating job statistics to hide the true extent of the economic ruin that they've inflicted on America. The new data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics shows that the administration padded the numbers with an extra, listen to this one, 818,000 jobs that don't exist. So they said they existed, and they never did exist. They built them up so that they could say what a wonderful job they're doing. No, we've never had numbers like this.
That's Donald Trump speaking just a short time ago in North Carolina to the crowd about the jobs numbers. The number of jobs revised down 818,000. The government had overstated the jobs. And by the way, you should note, they had previously revised down the jobs already, so it's actually a higher overstatement. They've corrected some along the way, but now this massive revision. To the phones, Jay, you're going to be up next. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Doing okay. Just long-time listener here from the Atlanta area. I just want to bring up an issue. You were just talking about cars and Teslas and electric cars and things like that. And also, a couple days ago, you were talking about EVs, a number of different good points you had made. One of the things I think is really unfortunate that is, I hate to go and say it, it's a tax grab situation where our government is unfortunately failing us, whether it's Republicans or Democrats. And with EVs, I mean, now again, full disclosure, I have two EVs. Just this year, we went from getting one and got to a second one. And by no means would I say EVs should be everywhere. By no means am I going to say that it fits everyone or that it should at all be a mandate. But here, the problem we run into is that when you buy an EV, you find out after the fact that every state has EV registration fees, and the EV registration fees are egregious. If you actually do the research, the amount of money that's brought in off of gas taxes is, in many states, it's a fraction of what they ask the EV owners to pay on an annual basis. Georgia being one of the highest, I think right now we're maybe fifth in the nation. Basically we're $200 plus the standard fees just go to register an EV. And if you look at, I think what last I checked, we're about $56 in Georgia or something like that is what the average cost of gas taxes are. So it's basically kind of a slap in the face. And it's the silly thing is that it's not preventing people from buying EVs. You find out about after the fact, and it's just, to me, it's a slush fund for government. It's a slush fund to basically go and get an account where they can basically rob for extra taxes. And I just want to know, like, when's this going to stop? When will that? Because it's not really helping either side other than just a way to raid the bank. You know what I mean?
Jay, I think it's not going to stop. I think it's going to get worse. So the reason the gas tax is like the annual amount paid in gas tax is less is because the government classifies EV owners as driving luxury vehicles, and most luxury vehicles use premium unleaded instead of regular unleaded. So they use that excuse. But I honestly think what they're going to wind up doing, Jay, is they're going to start over time monitoring your odometer every year, and you're going to have to file based on what your odometer is each year, and there's going to be no escape from it. California is starting to do this. I mean, California is probably the most EV friendly. They've passed a law now where they're going to ban electric vehicle or fossil fuel burning vehicles in 2030, and they are sticking it to electric vehicle owners. The reason is because what they're saying, now you got to follow the logic here. It's kind of genius bureaucratic ease. When you fill up at the pump, so I got a Yukon Denali. I put in Supreme Unleaded, and I filled up the other day, and it was $3.98 a gallon. I couldn't tell you what the gas tax is on that, the federal and the state gas tax. Couldn't tell you. What they're saying with the EVs is, I mean, since you fill up, you know, it's $3.988 or something like that, or $3.985 gallons or dollars per gallon, and you don't actually feel that, oh, I'm paying this tax. So what they're going to do with the EVs is they're just going to bump it up. And the reason they're going to justify bumping it up is because an EV tends to be heavier than the equivalent fossil fuel burning car because the batteries are heavier. So they've got to redo the infrastructure because the roads are going to tear up faster because of the asphalt and everything else. So they're using your electric vehicle as an excuse. You're absolutely right. Yes, you pay an annual registration fee. In the state of Georgia, where Jay and I both are, that annual registration fee. You pay a fee on top of the registration fee that amounts to their estimate of what you would pay if you were putting gas in your car in terms of tax, and that goes to the state. The reason it's higher as well, Jay, and I'm just getting a text message from a friend of mine who says, got to point out as well, that the other reason that it's higher is because the state doesn't just have a state gas tax. There's a federal gas tax as well. And the federal gas tax is apportioned among the states based on population. And so when you pay your annual registration fee, you're not just paying your state gas tax. You are paying the federal portion of the gas tax as well that the state decides it would get from the federal government if you were buying a fossil fuel burning vehicle. That's why it's so expensive. It's a state tax. It's a local tax. It's a federal tax and an estimate at that. It's not even the real tax, all piled in together. In addition to, they're going to charge you a premium because your car, based on an equivalent fossil fuel burning vehicle, is heavier. So the wear and tear on the roads is actually going to be more for you. So that's it. But hey, on the upside, you don't have to do oil changes. You don't have to fill up with gas. So you're still probably saving money in the long run with your electric vehicle. But yeah, the government's going to take advantage of everybody in an EV. You know it, and I know it. Speaking of the environment, here's a random one for you. Over the last 3 months, the shift from hot to cool temperatures in the equatorial Atlantic Ocean has happened at record speed. It's an emerging Atlantic Niña pattern. And it comes as we're expecting a La Niña pattern in the Pacific Ocean. And the back-to-back events could have ripple effects worldwide. And here's the punchline. Nobody knows why the Atlantic is cooling off as quickly as it is. On top of that, the computer modeling can't quite process exactly what this is going to mean in terms of weather moving forward, because it's somewhat uncommon to have a Atlantic cooling pattern and a Pacific cooling pattern at the same time. All of that is to say that it's way more complicated than what they would like you to believe. On top of that, I love saying the name. Are you ready for it? The Hunga Tunga Hunga Volcano. Turns out, remember, this was the ginormous volcano that exploded, I think, at the end of, it exploded in 2023. And all the scientists at the time said there is so much water vapor in the air, it's going to affect the climate for at least a decade. Turns out the Hunga Tunga Hunga volcano water vapor that got into the stratosphere, it's not coming out. It's staying. And what does water vapor do? It acts as a global blanket, warming things up. So one of the reasons you're seeing your hot temperatures is not man-made global warming. It's the Hunga Tunga Hunga volcano exploded and shot a whole lot of water into the atmosphere, and it's still up there. And scientists thought it was going to come down quicker. It's not coming down. And for some reason now, you got the Atlantic cooling and you got the Pacific cooling at the same time. The Atlantic is cooling far faster than it's expected to. And they don't know why, and they don't know what to do about it. And they are very concerned. Who is they? The experts. And think how much the experts get wrong. All the time, the experts get stuff wrong. And they're afraid it's going to zap their credibility. We haven't had the massive array of hurricanes they told us we were going to have. Now, in fairness, we're just getting to the heart of hurricane season. So we're getting to the heart of hurricane season. August, September, October, that time period tends to be peak hurricane season. So we're getting there. But there isn't a whole lot out there. We had this hurricane blow through Puerto Rico, but the number of storms they expected, the massive number of storms they expected, it hasn't actually panned out. So they maybe we'll get more. I mean, again, we're headed into the heart of the season, but now the Atlantic is cool. Now we've been told that that the waters in the Atlantic were super hot. And the Gulf of Mexico, outrageously hot. But now it's all cooling quicker than they estimated, quicker than the computer models told them it would. That's important. It's important for you to understand. Because the computer models are only as good as the data. The data is deeply flawed. The data, for example, has failed to capture the massive amount of water vapor from that volcano. This is a buddy of mine sent me this. Projections based solely on the loss via Antarctic dehydration underscore that the timing of the return to stratospheric humidity levels that would have been expected in the absence of the Hunga Tonga Hunga volcano eruption hinges on the underlying moistening trend. Now, this is all a bunch of gobbledygook, but here's the thing. They expected that the water vapor caused by the volcano would start to relieve itself quicker. Instead, what it's done is it's heated things up. And now we're seeing things like the Atlantic cool down quicker. And we don't know, is it because of the water vapor? We don't know. And having the Atlantic begin to cool down in a cycle at the same time as the Pacific is cooling down in a cycle is something that the computer models weren't expecting. So all of this stuff about the Earth's going to end in 10 years, we're all going to die, the world's coming to an end, we all knew it was hysterical to begin with. But not only is it hysterical, it's hysteria based on computer models that are not living up to their supposed quality reputation to begin with. We've all known not to trust those computer models. But increasingly, it's obvious that the scientists who have been lecturing us on climate change don't really know what's happening. They didn't predict that the Atlantic was going to cool the way it did. The predictions are coming from computer models, and we're seeing that the world is a more complex cycle. And when you think about it, of course it is. We are a ball of rock, water, and magma orbiting a giant nuclear reactor ball of plasma, and together we are orbiting a black hole in the center of a galaxy. And we're moving through space, and we're at a position in space that no living creature on this planet has been in, and our position in the galaxy, and our position where the solar system is positioned in the arm of the Milky Way galaxy right now. And yet, for some reason, they can be insistent that it's just us. We're the only things affecting us, not our position in the galaxy that we've never been before, not our position next to the sun, not the sun itself. Not our interactions with the cosmos, not this volcano, not the water vapor. It's all us. All they can do is blame us. It's like last night at the Democratic National Convention. It's the rich are bad, the wealthy are bad, the aspirants to get off the government dole are bad. All the Democrats and the left know how to do is blame humanity for everything. They'll never blame themselves. They'll just blame people who don't want to be addicted to the government. And if you're not addicted to the government scaremongering, they got to attack you for that as well. It's one reason I enjoy reading in Primus from Hillsdale College. It's completely free. And Hillsdale has some great thoughts, and it has some great writing on this and the antagonism towards the individual in the country and the antagonism to real science in the country by the people who have begun to worship scientism as opposed to actually studying the science. It's always educational. It's completely free. You can go to ericforhillsdale.com today, and you can sign up to get in Primus for free. You can start getting great courses from Hillsdale College, and they've got some great podcasts as well on the Hillsdale College Podcast Network that you can get with your podcasting app. You listen to the variety of information and education that comes from Hillsdale, and you'll be smarter than your neighbors, and you're not going to be indoctrinated. It's fact-based. They give you the research and information. They cite references to where it comes from. And so much of it is about the founding of the country. Hillsdale College has an educational mission to educate the masses wherever they are. And they do so free of charge to you, like with Imprimis, relying on generous donations of others that are tax deductible. If you want to support the mission, if you want to find out more about the mission, if you want to get Imprimis or the podcast or the free courses, all you have to do is go to ericforhillsdale.com, E-R-I-C-K, ericforhillsdale.com. Listen, so many of you reach out to me and say, where can I get information? Where can I get more knowledge? You can get great knowledge for free at ericforhillsdale.com. Sign up for Imprimis, if nothing else. I've been getting it since law school, and it's fantastic. Eric for Hillsdale.com.
You can follow Eric around on social media at EW Erickson on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. And check him out at EWErickson.com. Join Eric's army of activists. Text ARMY to 33777 now.
Greetings. Welcome, Bob. I'm going to let you close out the show today. Welcome to the show, Bob. How are you?
Very good. I'll try to be rather quick. I agree with you about climate change. I read an article the other day that 98% of the NOAA weather stations are in urban areas. Mm-hmm. Very few are in rural areas. So they're building in and even if they try to account for it, the urban areas are growing. Those heat islands are getting hotter, longer. Right. 2 to 5 degrees on the average is what's accepted, yet they use that data. The other thing was about vehicles. Remember Cash for Clunkers?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the government mandating what kind of vehicle they tell me they know better how I want to live my life than I do. If they cared, and I believe this is smarter legislation, they would say, if you buy a vehicle that gets 40 miles to the gallon or more, or in any equivalent form of energy, electric, propane, nuclear, biofuel, whatever, you can take 5% of the gross cost of that vehicle off your gross income every year for 5 years, or the interest. If it's a lower percentage, like, say, under 40 down to, say, 35 or 34, you get a lower write-off. Mm-hmm. 34 to 29 or some other limit, you get less. And below a certain threshold, you pay a penalty for a higher mileage or lower mileage consumable car. So it's that way people can decide.
Right.
And the economics of what they're picking is going to drive the manufacturers to meet that more than the others. Be that a hybrid or not.
Yeah. The problem, of course, is that makes too much sense. The government's not going to. The government doesn't want to do anything like that. It's so frustrating that there's so many common sense ways we could approach life, and yet it seems like there's a penalty for common sense in this country when the Democrats are in charge, Bob. You're absolutely right. And I mean, the same going back to the environment. Like, you guys understand that the point Bob's making is the National Weather Service put these temperature tracking stations in rural parts of the country years ago, and they haven't moved them. What's happened is those rural parts of the country become urban. Many of them around airports and the like, they've built up, and so they reflect now the heat of the heat islands of the concrete and the asphalt around them, and a lot of that has driven temperatures. Even as they try to adjust them, we're not getting the same temperature swings in the satellite data. Is the world warming? Yeah, probably so. Is it us? It's way more complex than that, and the left doesn't want you to believe it. You can't believe your common sense anymore.
Here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.